This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsit Pai Luis, Inchpes Ek, my friends. This is Jano, and great to have you on our show here. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me again.
Brian, working the boards. You just gave me a big salute. Chris, in the latest news, I thought this was interesting. I got to bring it up because every Armenian's in tune with it right now. And that's, there was another little attack by the Azeris. And, they crossed the line. They crossed the line, and we completely... they didn't survive. They died. That's what happens.
You cross the line.
It's kind of like a mob. You cross the line, you're going to get it. They crossed the line, and we took 5-6 of their guys out, okay? And they turned around and said that we started it. Now, their bodies are in the neutral zone or whatever. How the hell did we start it?
Yeah.
And how the hell does the world even believe that?
Well, it's as usual.
Yeah. Politics.
Yep.
Politics. But in any case, everything else is looking good. Our president, Sargsyan, he's in Europe, and he's making some headway here with the European Union and NATO. Everyone's jumping on board with Armenia. So that's great news. This little country that doesn't have the big industrial complexes, doesn't have the big oils or anything like that, and we make noise like this. It's outstanding. But that's what Armenian people are all about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we got the movie, The Promise, right around the corner. Folks, tell your Odar friends. Yeah. Tell everyone. Post it on your Facebook site about this movie. I mean, we already got a blacklist from the Turks on this. They responded when the movie was even created. They gave it a thumbs down. And it wasn't even out there for the public to hear this or see this. So, let's retaliate, you might say, and show people that this is the movie to go to. It's not just one of those documentary Armenian things. This is a movie. You remember that movie, Chris? I don't know. This was like 15, 20 years ago. It was called Red.
Oh, yeah. I remember Red.
I really believe that it's something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that I think that evolves around the world. I mean, what happened to the Armenians, then happened to the Jews, and you've seen it in Rwanda. You've seen it right now with the Middle East, with what ISIS has done to people. Something like this doesn't go away. You need everyone to be a little coherent about what the hell happened then.
What happened? Yeah, absolutely.
They say history repeats itself. Why don't we understand? Yeah. Why don't we understand what the hell happened back then? It's just not about being Armenian. I think Americans, I think Europeans should watch this movie. Doesn't it always seem like countries are always trying to hide something in a closet? Every country has got something in their closet, and the best thing to do is get it out of the closet.
Yeah, well, there is. And then, that stuff leads to divisions, and then you add the political elements into it, and you always end up with these weird sort of hidden away stories.
I totally agree. Well, hey folks, that's my big promo for The Promise. Please check it out. Please spread it on Facebook, any social media out there. Let it be known about this. I don't care if I see this from you guys, that you guys are my friends, and on Facebook, and if I see 200 of these about The Promise, hey, I welcome it, okay? That's all I got to say to that. Chris, our guest for this week, we got Nazo Bravo, an Armenian rapper. That seems to be going in the right direction, my friend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you check out his videos that I told you?
Very cool and extremely well done.
Like, yeah.
The production is
professional.
Good.
Everything was outstanding. And Nazo's love for his Armenia and our people, outstanding, like you said. Nazo, how are you, brother?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We are doing great here. We're doing great in the middle of the United States. It gets cold. It gets warm. I don't know what the hell to make of it over here, but it's good to have you on our show, man.
Glad to be on the show.
Let's start by, let's not beat around the bush here. The rap Power of High made my hair stand up, man. I'm not kidding. You know, I'm balding right at the top of my head, and I feel that I grew a little bit of hair after I heard this. It was outstanding, man. Great job.
Appreciate it. We filmed that video in Armenia. So I was born in L.A. Mm-hmm. My family's from Armenia, but, you know, being in L.A., there's a big community in Hollywood, Glendale, the Valley. There's a big Armenian community, so I was still able to kind of get, even though I grew up in America, I was still able to get some of that culture, just being around such a community of Armenians. So, but I actually got to go back for the first time to Armenia a couple years ago, and I made a documentary series out there. It was a family trip. It was a family trip with a lot of my family, but it was also a business trip because I linked up with a film director out there. He kind of took me around the different networks. I got to do a lot of interviews and meet musicians and people in the film business. So I documented the whole thing, and I was like, why don't I just turn this into a documentary series? So I called it Armenian American. It's on YouTube. It's on my YouTube channel, and it's like a 8-episode documentary series on YouTube, like 3 and 4 minutes each, just showing different things. Like one episode, I go to where my dad grew up, like the house, actual house. Another one, it shows me doing, you know, a live interview on Armenian TV, which for me growing up out here, I really wasn't sure how I was going to sound to people who only speak Armenian, because I could speak Armenian, but it's not the same when. It's your only primary language, so...
Yeah, I know what you mean
there. I was
like,
I hope I don't sound like a fool to these people, yeah. But Power of the High was part of the soundtrack I did, so there's Armenian-American soundtrack, and Power of the High, I shot that whole video in Armenia, and it was a great experience.
So you went there on a family trip. This was not even something that you planned to do a music video out there?
The whole thing came about, a family members, or one of my in-laws, their family member was going to get married out there to somebody. And so we kind of took it as an opportunity to take my nieces out there to get baptized. And it kind of just grew into this whole thing of, well, we've never been there, so why don't we just go? And like a month before that, there was a film director who had come out from Armenia to LA, and he had reached out to me about doing a song for his movie. So I got in touch with him, and I was like, hey, I'm gonna be out in Armenia in a couple months. He's like, I asked him, you know, I can be around, maybe we could show me around a little bit, because you know the industry, and you know that's your stomping ground. So I kind of split my trip. It was like about 3 weeks. I split like one day family, one day business, one day family, one day business, and kind of made the best out of it. You know, I worked with some Armenian rappers, Nadek Metzhaik. He's doing a lot of big things out there, and putting out a lot of great music and music videos. And I got a chance to work with him and Red Light, some other rappers. So just trying to, you know, they rap in Armenian.
Well, that was my next question. That was my question coming up here is, you know, and solely you're not responsible for, but my point is, how do you feel about getting the youth? I mean, the youth loves rap, and my days of rap were like Ice Cube and Kumo D and those types. They were like old school. But now it seems like the youth now is still entrenched with it, and it's beautiful the way that you made the song about High, and it's like entrenching our youth to be still keeping that wisdom and that the roots, the grassroots of what happened, and keeping that alive in your type of format.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in its purest form, hip hop is a tool of expression and education. So the way I see it, the way I see my position in the rap game is, I learn about black culture through hip hop. That's it's their music, you know. So that's where it comes from. It comes from the ghetto, the poverty, the struggle,
right,
and rising up. And so the same way I learned about black culture through hip hop, now that hip hop is it's become global, and it's opened up. The game has opened up. There's all types of artists now: white, blacks, Asian, Canadian. You know, the biggest rapper in the game is half Jewish, half black guy from Canada. So Drake. So like the game has definitely opened up. So for me, I'm kind of just doing the same thing, using hip hop to educate people about my culture. You know what I mean? And that's why I stuck with my name, Nazo. It's my real name, Nazaret, you know, Diddy. And Bravo is just, you know, part of the stage name.
Right.
But my label is Mighty High Records. That's spelled H-Y-E. And the logo is a lion, which is my last name, Aslanyan. So it's all about, you know, being true to yourself. And even my trademark sound, like word ad-lib that I put in all my songs is a yo, which means, you know, for those who don't know, means yes or yeah. And it's also kind of celebratory. And for people who aren't Armenian, that's something new to them. And it's something I'm kind of infusing hip-hop with our culture, bringing something new to the table. The same way Pitbull that says Dale or whatever. Because when you first hear that and you're not of Latin descent, you're like, what does that mean? You do research, you're like, oh, okay, it's like a, I'm gonna give it to me, or it's like a party turn-up type term. So anyone who hears me say a yo on a song, anyone in the world who's Armenian is going to be like, hey, that's my guy. Like, he just said a yo, that's cool. I like him. And whoever's not is going to be like, they might say it, they might not, but they might wonder. And then if they catch one of my interviews or something, they'll understand what it means. And it's like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like, it's something different. So
right,
kind of works on both sides.
Now, a couple minutes ago, you mentioned about the ethnic part of it, black and white, Jewish and all. But, you know, it's predominantly working with black musicians and more or less a black industry. How has that industry accepted a white Armenian rapper? I mean, have they just been open arms with it?
No, not always. It's part of the game, and it's cool. Like, you have to always look at it on the flip side. If I was black trying to do Armenian music, how would I be accepted? You know what I mean?
You're right.
So it's like, it's just part of it, and I'm always going into any situation, whether it's a meeting or a performance or whatever, I always know that I'm going to be initially discounted, which is fine. And that's what's kind of forced me to be even better. And I mean, a lot of times people don't even know what I'm going to sound like when they see me get on stage or whatever, because I dress like in a suit. I dress totally different. You know, I have like this.
You look great, Yefire.
James Bond thing. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, and I did that intentionally to just...
He doesn't just throw that around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, I used to dress hip-hop and all that, but I don't do that anymore, and it's because so many people dress like that, and I was like, well, let me kind of flip it a little bit, and that's kind of where we ended up.
I don't think you'd look good going out there looking like old Vanilla Ice. Hey, Chris, yeah. You got a clip here of Power of the High?
I do.
Here we go. Take me back to Eden. They call me a terrorist, but giving me no reason. Can you even tell me which people were the first Christians? Armenians. But that's life, c'est la vie. It's the power of the high, baby, H-Y-E. Thinking about when we were kings. Like, yeah, that's beautiful,
that's
bro.
That's really good, man.
That's
appreciate
beautiful.
It, yeah.
I mean, like I said, that one was, it just makes your hair stand, because every word that you're saying there's our story. So it was, it's outstanding.
Really good stuff.
Thank you.
Who is your main influence? I bet you get that crap question all the time, but who was your main influence when you were getting into rapping?
Tupac.
Tupac.
Definitely.
All right.
Tupac. Yeah, one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tupac had a message, and I really also liked how he had not just one type of song. You know, he had songs that make you think, songs that are party, songs when you're angry, songs when you're emotional, like Dear Mama. You know, he was talking about his mom.
Right.
So from that to Hit Him Up. So I really liked his catalog. And I just love how clear his words were. And it made sense. You hear it makes sense, and it's something that stays with you, and you think about it. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Even just respecting women was one of his songs. I mean, the guy was outstanding. You know, it definitely. Mine, like I said, mine was Ice Cube, and I think I was always angry when I was listening to Ice Cube. I was putting on my football uniform, and the Ice Cube, you put that in there, you'd be ready to play some football. It's outstanding.
Definitely. I look up to Ice Cube, definitely, aside from being one of the best MCs, rappers, writers, I look up to him as a filmmaker. You know, I'm starting to get into that world. I just worked on a film in Louisiana a couple months ago that I co-produced, and I'm also in as an actor. We had a great cast, and creating opportunities for yourself. Ice Cube wouldn't have had those types of roles if he didn't also write and produce his films, and now that's his bread and butter.
Yeah.
And for me, I really look up to that, and I'm working in that world now too. So, beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to be versatile. You got the Ice Cube, you got guys that probably made it, like Ice-T. He moved on to the films. Who was
LL Cool J,
of course. LL Cool J.
Even Tupac. I mean, he was a fantastic actor. Talent-wise, I think he was probably the best rapper was acting as well.
And you know what? Let's not throw a little white guy there, Eminem. He came up with a movie. It was outstanding.
He did great. Yeah,
in that Detroit
movie. I think he could
have
had more of a career.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
His passion. And
what was that? The one guy in Boston, Mark, was it Marky Mark or something? He was rapping.
Marky Mark's probably the most successful rapper.
Yeah.
Slash actor, yeah. I mean, he's an executive producer of all these great shows on HBO.
Beautiful movies.
Most Def, yeah.
Yeah, so you're at it the right way. I mean, definitely you want to get your horizon broadened, and I think it's beautiful. So you've been back to Armenia. That was your first time back to Armenia. How did the public, how did they accept you coming to Armenia and knowing about you and being a rapper and all that?
At that time, my presence in Armenia still wasn't that big. I mean, there were certain people who recognized me and stuff, and it was great. It was all love. And I think now, after releasing that documentary and the soundtrack and all this other stuff that I've released over time, I think the reception will be much bigger. But it was great. I mean, any interview that I went to, I was on Armenia TV, Dantron TV, like some of the big networks, basically the channels that people watch every day. Like they were very welcoming, and they were interested. They were interested and intrigued about why me being born out here in America, why I was so. I'm proud about my culture and representing my culture. It was just interesting to them, because that's where they are. And I'm Armenian, in a different country. And it's like, well, what made you want to rep it like that? So it was great. They were very welcoming.
You know, I brought this up with my former people that have been on the show, a lot of singers I've had on the show. And I loved what a System of Down did by playing there one night before April 24th. I would love for something like that for you to be a part of. Believe you me, I've mentioned this to Chris, how many people did we mention this to?
Man.
Like three, four, and they're all like,
handful.
Put it together.
Yeah.
We would do it. We would love to do it, and we'll do it free.
Yep.
I mean, all the thousands of people System of Down had, if we could do something like that every year, wouldn't that be outstanding?
Absolutely, yeah.
Definitely. No, definitely. I mean, that's what it's about. We have audiences, and we have the music that we do, and we have to use it for causes like that. You know what I mean? Because that's a way of communication. And it's a peaceful way of communication, but it's also an educational way of communication, and it also gets people thinking, you know, and it gets people's attention. You know, every year when there's the march, it gets people's attention, even people who are not. I mean, especially, I mean, I'm speaking about it because I know I see it here in L.A. I know there's marches all over the world, but in L.A., we shut down Hollywood, and much traffic for people who don't know about it. It makes them, at the very least, yeah, at the very least, they're just, like, annoyed, and they're like, what is this? Why is there 80,000 people walking through the street, and I can't get to work, or I can't get to wherever I'm supposed to go? And even that alone will at least make them
think about it. No, you're definitely right about it. And, you know, like I've said it on past shows, I said it a couple of shows ago that, you know, the Turks are banking on us forgetting about it. And generation after generation, well, things are going to be forgotten after a while. But you know what? It's guys like you that are on the forefront, that are singing, that are rapping, that are making it known that, hey, we're still here and we're still going to have influence on the younger generation. That's who we're banking on, the younger generation, because it's entrenched in us. But the younger kids, with you rapping like this Power of High, I mean, that was beautiful. And the kid's going to be out there rapping that same tune, and you know that's how you keep the torch lit.
Definitely. And a couple years ago, I worked on a film, a period piece. It's called Armenian My Love. It's on Amazon, I believe, Amazon streaming, Amazon Video, and it's about the genocide. It was made by a Romanian film director. Which is interesting that a Romanian woman wanted to make this, but she was a history. She knew a lot about history, and I think that's what she majored in Romania. But when she came out to LA, she really didn't know anything about genocide. So she was intrigued and curious as to why it wasn't in her history teaching. So she was compelled to write a screenplay and made a film, independent film. And but you guys can check it out. It's on Amazon, and I play. It's basically right before the genocide starts and how Turkey gathers all the community leaders to Constantinople and basically, you know, gets rid of them. And I played one of those community members, and I also helped produce the film. So, you know, with the resources we had, I think we made a nice film, a beautiful film. And it was in some theaters in Los Angeles when it came out last year. But yeah, you guys can check that out too. So music, film, all these platforms, unfortunately they are what people consume more than books. People like to listen and watch more than they like to read. And
yeah, so, I think that's what it's all about now, really. I mean we're in our cars, we want to listen to a story, we just don't have time to read anything anymore. I mean, as soon as I get home, I got to take care of the house with the kids and all that. So, yeah, I think audio and the visual is something. Now, it seems like you're going that route too, to where you're getting a little bit of exposure with like you were with 2 Chainz, and he's an upcoming rapper himself. So you know you're mainstream now. That's big time.
Well, 2 Chainz, that was kind of just a mashup that someone submitted, so we roll with that. But I have worked with E-40. You know, he's a legend. We had a song together. I opened up for him at the Troubadour in Hollywood.
It's and, a great venue.
West Coast legend.
Really?
Spent a lot of time at that venue. Really cool.
What? Yeah. Say it again?
I said I've spent that's an awesome venue for a show. I love the Troubadour.
Yeah, Troubadour, yeah. Legendary.
Spent a lot of time there, yeah.
That's great. Yeah, and then I have a single out now with John Hart. He's a R&B singer star, and then pushing that song, put it in reverse. The one with D4, he got a lot of play on the radio on the West Coast, up and down California, from Sacramento to San Diego, and even Arizona and Nevada. So I'm kind of doing my next run and hitting some stations. I just had a show in Palm Springs. I'm going to do a show in Fresno this Sunday to promote that record. So yeah, and that one's called Baddest Chick, very R&B, very.
I love that one.
I call it the A side. Thank you. Yeah, that's the A side to my music. The commercial side, the B side is the message. You know, the power of the high, So like I said with Tupac, I really loved how he had a variety in his catalog, and for me it's very important for me to have that as well. You know what I mean? Like, if I give you 5 songs or 10 songs on a EP or LP, I'm not going to give you 10 songs that are sounding exactly the same, talking about the same thing. You know, it's going to be a variety and show you different sides of who I am and
I tell you,
what I like. And,
honestly, yeah. Nazo, that was excellent. And I put it on my Tesla. You know, my Tesla's weird, right, Chris? I mean, you yeah. ask for a song, it plays it. I requested that. It popped up. I can't get it again, though. I don't know.
Weird.
Yeah, I heard it, and I put it as one of my favorites, and that was a nice video. I felt like I was 20, 25 years old again walking into that bar. You were great,
no,
man.
Thanks. Yeah, that was a fun video. I mean, we had a lot of models, and like even the video itself, it's kind of made more like a little short film, like a story, because I'm going through this house and there's all these different women, but the song is called Baddest Chick. So like I'm looking for one specific, the baddest chick, the specific woman that I'm looking for. I keep missing her. Like she goes down the hall and then I go into that room and she's not there. And there's all these other girls. So it's like there's all these distractions.
Yeah, they were distractions, so all right.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you another thing too about your music and what you're doing too. My daughter, she has when we go to Armenia, she knows this Armenian soldier, and you know what he said? He said that they listen to my show.
And that's awesome.
That is outstanding. And I'm like, for you, in your words right now, as they're sitting around the table listening to the show, what would you like to tell them?
Nothing but the most utmost respect and love to you guys. You know, we owe you everything. Just to be out there fighting, that's the biggest sacrifice you can make. And
it's
be safe. And we wish you
nothing but health, right? Yeah. It's to me when I heard that too, I was like, wow, they listen to my show. I got to give a little shout out here for our guys wherever they're at. So, God bless them too. I don't know why I wrote this down, but I got to ask you this. I'm married to an Armenian, and they eat this chash. Do you eat chash?
I like the tradition of it.
I run out of there. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I'm not the type of guy to like chew on all the little cartilage,
right,
bone, all that. No, I'm not good with that. No, I mean, I'll take maybe some of the just the stew with the bread and some vodka. I'm cool with that.
There you go.
I'm not crazy about all that other stuff. No, I'm cool.
No, I got you. And I think that's a segment that I'm going to throw with every guest now. And I'm just going to get a vote for 6 months here. Jot that down, Brian. We're going to find out how many people eat chash. And, Chris, this is the one I told you about, the cow feet.
Oh, yes.
What do you mean? You're so excited.
No, I don't eat this. No, but I remember you mentioning it. No, I wouldn't eat it either.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they love it. They love it in the morning. Stuff. Oh, the cow tongue is different.
I can't. No, thanks.
All right. So what's your next project? You're a friend of the show. We'd love to have you back on. Tell us what you're going to be doing. We can promote it on our Toast to Armenia and Armenia Proud.
So I have Baddest Chick, this new single I have with John Hart. I'm pushing that. If you guys haven't seen it, check out the music video. Just go to my YouTube.com/ Nazo Bravo. Just look up Nazo Bravo, Baddest Chick. It's part of a new project I'm going to be releasing very soon, probably March, April. And it's an EP, which is, for those who don't know, it's like a shorter version of an album, like a 5-song project.
Right.
And it's called Young Lion, the EP. And I'm going to be releasing another music video off of that, totally different from Baddest Chick, more along the lines of Power of the High and Before I Die. And I shot part of that video while I was in Armenia, like at the Khorvirab and a few other places. And then I'm shooting the rest of it out here in L.A. And it's going to be a beautiful song, beautiful video, one of my best
So look out for the Young Lion Project. And also, the DOA Blood River, it's a film that I co-produced. The writer-director, his last movie was Heist with Robert De Niro. So we're really excited about this project. DOA Blood River, we filmed it in Louisiana. It's not a horror. There's an actual place there called Blood River, but the title might be changed to Dead on Arrival. I play a detective. There's a lot of great actors in that film. And so check for that later this year. And I'm just going to be, you know, releasing more music after the Young Lion EP this year, more music videos. So just keep up with me on social media and, you know, the latest.
Well, tell us where they can find you, too.
Yeah, so everything is Nazo Bravo, N-A-Z-O-B-R-A-V-O. On Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube. My Snapchat's Nazo-Bravo, and then my website's NazoBravo.com. So holler at your boy. Yo.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, by the way, I forgot to mention that Baddest Chick video. You got a great partner there, man. I mean, he was singing his ass off, too. It was great. You guys were working that really good.
Oh, John Hart?
Oh,
yeah, John Hart,
outstanding.
He's great. He's from the Bay. He's an R&B star. You know, he had a song with French Montana, a huge song called Who Booty. We met at a radio station, and we just kept in touch. You know, I wrote that chorus. When I collaborate with an artist, especially an artist who's more established than me, I like to go to them with a more complete vision. So I didn't want to just be like, hey, what you think? Like, write something to this. So I wrote that chorus. I was singing it as a reference track. I sent it to him. He did it his own way. He changed some words around. He wrote the bridge. So it was a nice collaboration. But, yeah, definitely. Like, for me, it's important to always have a vision. Because someone like that or someone like D40, they have a lot going on. So if you present the vision to them as complete as possible, it's kind of they know where to go with it to collaborate with you.
Well, it's outstanding. My question on that, too, is a lot of your songs, are they all done by you, or you have producers that help out as well?
No, as far as the actual music, I work with producers. I don't really produce too much. I produce some songs or co-produce, but mainly I work with producers. Shout out to Corey Simon. He produced Baddest Chick. And he produced for the universe. He produced a lot of my music, and he's worked with a lot of different great artists: T.I., Macy Gray, CeeLo. List goes on. And then shout out to Tyrone, the Tizzle, my guy since day one. You know, he engineered the song, mixed and mastered it. I will sit down in the mix and master process, or the mix process, definitely, and then review the master as well. And as far as arrangement, you know, how the song should flow and be structured, what goes where, where's the bridge, where's the hook, I'm always involved in that because that's also part of the songwriting, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not just writing the words, but, yeah. I like
Excellent.
To be as involved as possible, but also not get in people's way. So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Hey, Chris, can we get that link to the Baddest Chick and put it on
Absolutely.
Toast to Armenia,
yep.
And we'll have that? We'll have that on our site, too, so when people are hearing the interview, they could just click on that and check out that video as well. And also, let's put that other one with Armenia about high.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's outstanding. I think I should have saved that hush question at the end. From now on, all these segments that end, I should use that at the last part there. So, hey, partner, I appreciate it so much. It's great. It's great hearing what you're doing and where you're going to, because you sound like you're very versatile, and I think we're going to be hearing from you in the long run here in the years to come.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show, Jono, and Chris. Thank you, guys.
No
and
problem. Yeah,
thanks. Armenia. Much love. Adio.
Thank you, Nazo. And is there anyone in Armenia you want to give a shout-out to?
Just my family that's out there. I love you guys. I miss you guys. Call it from this. You know, to everybody out there who listens and supports and catches me up on social media, I appreciate you guys so much. I can't wait to come back. And shout out to the homie, Nautic Medsack. I see you, bro. I see you moving and doing your thing. So
Keep pushing.
Very good. All right, that was Nazo Bravo. Thank you very much, my friend, and you're a friend of the show. Anytime you got something, call me. We'll get it on our side, or we'll get you back on the show.
Appreciate you guys. Have all a good right. one.
Take care.
Peace.
Chris, a great interview with Nazo.
Amazing.
I loved it.
He's unbelievably talented.
Unbelievably talented, and the kid's, I'm calling him a kid because I'm 46, 47. He's getting involved in acting. He's throwing it all over the place. God bless him.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. And you know what segment it is now, don't you?
I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Mariam's cooking. I tell you what, Mariam, what do you got for us? How you doing out there?
Hi, guys. Good. How are you?
We are doing good. It's about noon. I think it's a little past noon here in the Midwest, and I'm catching you while I'm starving, and you're going to be talking about something delicious, I'm assuming.
Yes, it's going to be actually lamb burgers.
Lamb burgers.
Lamb burgers. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, lamb burgers.
Yeah, we don't normally. Yeah, yeah.
You guys should visit California more often.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, Chris lived there.
I did.
And I lived there for maybe like 7 months or something, but I got back. I'm a Midwestern guy. All right. Tell us about lamb burger.
Well, it's your regular burgers, except, you know, it's with lamb, and it has kind of Mediterranean and Middle Eastern herbs in it. Mediterranean, not Middle Eastern. But it's ground lamb, and if you're making for four people, you probably need a pound. And then this particular recipe, the original one, it has rosemary. I don't like putting rosemary in a ground meat if I'm going to grill it.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, I like to use either thyme or margarine. If you're not familiar with margarine, it's very similar to oregano. Are you guys familiar with either one of them?
Oregano?
Oregano. Yeah.
Okay.
I say oregano.
Yeah. Could be from Oregon.
So it's it's not from Oregon. But anyways, it's very similar to thyme, too. I mean, they're very similar herbs. So it's about four sprigs of thyme.
Mm-hmm.
And margarine, if you're using a sprig of thyme chopped up. And then you need 1 tablespoon of garlic powder. You can use fresh garlic if you want. A pinch of salt and a pinch of ground black pepper, or how much. It's up to you, the black pepper and salt. And then basically you make like patties and you grill it. And that's how simple it is. For the sauce, you're going to need a tablespoon of Dijon mustard and a mayo. I mean, as much of mayo you want, but I like to add a paprika there too, if you like that smoky taste. So that's all it is.
Now wait a minute. Do you have any onions in there? You have any mardanos? Do you have the stuff all cut up and putting in the burger too?
You can add your mardanos in there if you want to, but it doesn't have mardanos. And onions, you can definitely add it to your burger, but it doesn't have onions in there. It's just basically simple herbs and salt and pepper.
Ah, okay.
Remember, this is ground meat. You don't want too much stuff in there because you're not going to cook it through, and lamb is one of those things that you don't want to overcook it. So if you're going to have anything in there, make sure it's not big pieces, and or you can cook it before. You can saute it and then put it in your ground lamb.
Now that's interesting, because now you're saying that lamb meat, you don't cook that much, right? You're not cooking it as much as other meat. So how much are you grilling this outside? Like a couple minutes on each side?
Yeah, like 5 minutes each side. And if you want medium well, you can definitely cover it and let it sit there with the less heat until you're comfortable with the meat.
Yeah.
And then you can just basically, some people don't like it over. I mean, I personally don't like it when it's well done.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. I love it when you're making it right, and then your guys are all coming up, and you got the oli going on, and you got everyone's taking a little piece of it. By the time it gets inside the house, you're stuffed because you ate with the guys outside and now you brought it inside. Now you're just kicking back and making toast left and right. It's outstanding. And the lamb burger, I got to try that. Now, lamb burger, what's that go for? That's got to be like
a beef, yeah.
Yeah. Is it greasy? Is it lean? How's that work? Is it going to fall off?
No, it's not actually. You want to get lamb that's not too greasy, but of course you don't want to get dry either. So make sure there is some fat in there. And that's another thing I wanted to mention. When you're doing lamb, make sure it's really fresh. If you can buy the lamb and ground it yourself, I know we don't do that, but you can ask your butcher to do that. That would be great. So it needs to be really fresh and not too fatty.
And what part of the lamb meat is that? Because if I go to the butcher and go, I want that piece, but can you grind it up? What piece are we looking for?
A leg of lamb.
Leg of lamb.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? That sounds pretty good, too. I guess you got to layer that fat off of it, too, before you throw it in there.
Yeah, you want to do that. And then actually, Olga is great with that, but there's a particular wine that I like to drink with lamb, and it's called Zinfandel. So if you can find that, that will be really great.
You know what? I heard Anush, she's going to be talking about that. She told me before the show even started that she might be bringing that up. It's great how everything's working out here with our wines and everything, our food.
I know, that's actually my favorite. My favorite wine is Zinfandel, red Zinfandel. Well, and I like that. It's because it's so versatile. It actually goes with all your all-American, all-Armenian. It doesn't matter what you eat, everyday food. I like pizzas, burgers, hot dogs. And then also it goes really well with your duck. I know you don't like duck.
I don't mind lamb. A duck. Lamb gets, I don't know. You got that particular smell about lamb that I'm not a big fan of. I don't know what it is about lamb.
But that's why you need it really fresh. That's what when it's fresh, it doesn't have that smell. And when you put all those herbs in there, it helps the meat to taste better.
Right.
Like the margarine, the thyme. You can even put dried or fresh mint with a lemon zest. And I like that too.
Now, I got to say this too. Armenians from Armenia, they take a little bit of pork and they mix it with the ground beef and all that. There's none of that with the lamb, right?
No, not pork with lamb. No, okay. I don't think so.
All right. Yeah, that's what I thought too. But I make my burgers, my beef burgers, outside with the I put it on the sheesh and everything, and they're like amazed that I don't put any pork or chicken or anything. They said it's more for the whole thing to stick together. But I do fine with it. It never falls apart on me. So anyway,
for pork with beef.
Yeah, so yeah. They put the pork with the beef, the ground beef. They mix it together so. The structure, it doesn't fall off the sheesh while it's going, basting on the fire. Have you heard that? No?
I haven't heard that, no. But my grandmother used to put pork fat into beef when she was making the lahmacun. That I heard.
Yeah.
But not the...
Yeah, I haven't done that either. All right. Okay. All right. So we're going to go with the lamb burger. I'm thinking about this. Maybe nice potatoes on the side with the lamb burger.
Potatoes. Yes, definitely. If you can have like a foil pan, a foil or a pan, you can just put it underneath. If you have that sort of a grill underneath the lamb, and then all the fat can drip on that, it will be really great.
Well, you could do that the same way with the pilaf too. You could have that fat coming right down to the pilaf, and god damn, I'm kidding.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
yeah. All right.
That's still morning here. Yeah. So I'm still on my coffee.
Enough with you here, Mariam. I'm about to eat Chris here. I'm looking at him like a big French fry on an island.
I want all the lamb.
Yeah, you got to. All right, so you got anything going on this weekend?
Well, I told you I'm taking a couple of courses, so mostly that and with family.
Good.
I'm trying to, yeah.
No trips or anything?
No trips, no.
All right. Okay.
Well, actually, yeah. And I have not a trip with the family, but it's with the school. We're going to go to Armenia on April. So
nice.
April 6th, yeah, nice. For about 2.5 weeks. But it's kind of a field trip with the school, and it's going to be all history and educational.
Good, good. And one more thing. Give a little shout-out about your book and the site that our fans could get on there.
Yeah, Cooking with My Armenian Family, and that's my site as well. And I actually been selling, I think, like 3 books last week. Anush has a site, I believe, and I just tried that site, and I posted there, and people bought it, and I mentioned that it's for a charity, too. And they bought it, and I just made a donation, and I actually thanked her for allowing me to do that. And for you guys, finding Anush, too.
Yeah. So, no, yeah. Anush has been great. Anush has been great, and Ani's got her show. So you know what? I think down the line we'll throw Ani in the mix, and we're gonna have another person on the show talking about music. We're kind of excited about that. So we're slowly getting better and better every week. So it's gonna be outstanding. I love the show.
I love the show too.
Good.
I'm excited about. What is it? Ani Vibes, right? That's coming up.
Ani's Vibes, yeah.
Ani's
Chris,
Vibes, yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah,
Ani's Vibes?
I believe Monday.
Monday.
Yeah.
Monday. We can't wait.
Okay.
Ani. Yeah.
Wait.
Ani's shows. Excellent. All right. Well, you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. You too. Bye.
Bye. Man, she did it again, Chris.
Unbelievable.
She got me hungry.
Always. It's like
when
she has control over the eating segment of our brains.
When we're interviewing her at 12 noon about
I know,
kebabs
it's a long time,
and Armenian
they're the best
Lambert's.
Or the worst timing.
Yeah. All I kept picturing, and she didn't even mention it, what we do with that is kind of like we throw this madzun on there. It's got like garlicky. You had that when I made you that doma sarma. Remember that?
Yeah.
I put that white madzun
white, yes.
on there, and you loved that.
Oh, it was amazing.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Well, anyway, time to move on. And we're moving on by bringing up our big shows coming up here. She mentioned it, Ani.
Ani Vibes, yeah.
Ani Vibe. It's going to be outstanding. Yeah. I think the people are waiting. People on my Armenia Proud
yeah,
have been messaging
yeah.
us to saying when's this going to come up, and can't wait for her show. And you're saying it's going to be around Monday?
Yeah, on Monday of this upcoming week.
Monday.
Yeah.
So, folks.
Monday to Tuesday. It depends on how her recording goes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Does she have her own site too on Facebook, Ani Vibe?
Yeah, Ani Vibes does.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, great, folks.
Yeah.
Go to that, and she'll have her episodes up there, and you can go to iTunes and subscribe to her shows as well.
Absolutely.
And we're not done with that, because then we got Michael Gregorian.
Yep.
Out
Armenian
there.
Nights Radio. Yeah.
Armenian Nights Radio. The guy's really been humping out there. I mean, he works hard. He's got another partner, and he told me that he's having a blast doing it. So check out Armenian Nights. Sarkis, is he around the corner with his show?
Yeah, his will be probably in the next 3 weeks.
Next 3 weeks with Sarkis' show. And Ani, this Monday, makes the debut.
Yep.
Exciting. I tell you what, Chris, that made me hungry again.
Starving, as usual.
Mariam's Lambburgers.
I know.
Ever heard of a Lambburger?
I haven't. I've heard of all these other, burgers
made
with all these
cows, yeah.
But bison, soy.
Right. Not Lambburger, though.
I guess that's more of a goat.
It's all working out, because I'm thinking about it right now. We're getting close to lunch here, and it doesn't end there, because let's have something in the works here with maybe Anush. Anush Garibian O'Connor. She's our big wine expert. And Anush, welcome aboard.
Hi, everyone.
How
nice
are you?
Back.
Yeah.
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Mariam brought up a lamb. Ever heard of that? Lambburgers?
Sure. Lambburger sounds delicious. I love burgers and lamb. Lambburger. I have tried them. Very yummy. With
really?
A little bit of spice in them. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, she brought it up, and it made our whole mouth water here thinking about it. So that's a good Armenian way to start the day off. And Tell us about what type of wine we could use for this great lamb burger.
So a few wines would pair well with the lamb burger, but for today I would recommend a Zinfandel, and a particularly one that I tasted last week on my trip to traveling North California, a Zinfandel made by a winery called Minassian and Young. You can log on their website, sign up and purchase the wines and have it delivered to you and have it with your lamb burger.
So what is this all about? What is it, more on the dry side?
And yeah. Sweeter?
Yeah. Okay.
The Zinfandel, it's very jammy. It's a red wine. It has a little bit sweetness to it that goes well with the spice, but has very fruit forward palate, which is just perfect match for a for meat for that are grilled, barbecued. A burger would be a perfect balance together. So, wow. For sure, it's going to be great.
Excellent, excellent. Do you chill this or do you keep it? Is it room temperature or should we put this in the refrigerator?
The red wine is typically served at the room temperature, but not a room temperature of like 80 degrees, closer to 60 degrees. So if you have a hot room, I would suggest you chill it a little bit, but typically the red wines are served at the room temperature. So just pop the cork, pour it in the glass, make your burgers, sit down, and, watch your favorite sport or just enjoy the company of your family.
Well, you know what, though, Anush, if it was 80 degrees in my house, too, there's not going to be any burgers or wine or anything. I'm out of that house as well. So that's kind of warm there. Yeah. Okay. So
exactly.
So that's what we got going. And is there any particular wine out there for our Armenians to check out? And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I wanted to tell you today about this particular wine in the winery, Minassian and Young. It's from my trip to North last week. So that is going to be the segment for today.
Okay.
In 2008, when I moved from Texas and I was traveling to Napa, we stopped by in Paso Robles to visit a few of the winemakers that I knew, and my husband grabbed the map, and he's like, check this name out. It says Minassian and Young. You know, he knows that I always, whenever I see Armenian last name, I get excited.
I know.
So,
we're all like that.
Yeah. So in Paso Robles, an Armenian name on a winery, and I'm like, of course, let's go. So we went and visited the winery, tasted the wine, beautiful setting, but unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to meet the winemaker or the owner. So this time when we planned our trip north, I said, for sure, I need to contact the winery and see if I can meet with the owner and the winemaker. Contacted Minassian and Young, and David responded. David is the name of the owner. He said, sure, come on by and would like to talk to you. So drove up there, absolutely gorgeous, because of all the rain. It was so green, lush, these hills and the mountains. We got there, were greeted by a bunch of friendly dogs, so they all came to say hi. My kids were all over them. They were so excited.
Nice.
David came, said hello, and I had a few questions for him. Of course, number one was, the Armenian heritage, where the Minassian name comes from. And he said that his mom is half Armenian and half Burmese.
Wow.
Now, are you familiar with the Armenians who immigrated to Burma and India? I have never met anyone who whose ancestors come from there.
You know, the only thing I heard about Armenians from India are the ones that we see on the downloads. We check out who's download, where they're coming from and everything. And we get about maybe 300 to 400 downloads from India every time. So I don't know. It's strange, but it's beautiful too.
So here's the story. In 17th century, a large number of Armenians fled the Ottoman Empire, and they settled in Iran. And then from there, some of them traveled to Burma and India. And at some point, they said that around 1,300 Armenians were living in Calcutta and Yangon. So that's in the 17th century. And they were so close to the Burmese royals that the king gave them the land and they built their church there. He gifted it to them.
Wow. Actually, you know what? Anush, there was this Armenian half, I think she's got Armenian in her. She's like one of the most beautiful women in India. As you were talking, I was thinking about her. She's an actress, singer, and she's supposed to have Armenian in her. And God, I forgot her name. I forgot her name, but I think she even wanted to be on our show at one time, and then it never got put together. But wow, yeah.
Oh, so it was just beyond exciting. So, but the number of the Armenians, you know, it goes on the decline in Burma. So there's like all becoming intermixed, but they want to keep the church. And actually, David's mom and dad, they are big supporters of the church. They're trying to help them keep it and preserve it. So it's just amazing. There's a big article on that on BBC.com that came out a few years ago. So I was just blown away, blah, 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 because I wanted to ask him, you know, tell me some fun and memorable story. And then he told me that. I'm like, oh, okay, this like tops everything. So his dad, this is another interesting part. His dad is a PhD from Stanford, has a PhD from Stanford. He's the CEO of a company, but his big hobby is growing apples. He has a 4,000 apple tree orchard in San Diego area.
Apples, huh?
So, wow. Apples, yeah. So that brings to David, and he grew up, you know, seeing that, but he was more interested in winemaking. He went and studied winemaking at Cal Poly State University in San Luis Obispo. He earned his bachelor's in fruit science. Afterwards, he worked two summers in Napa Valley, the first in the vineyard and the second in the production. His wife also has a degree in plant biology. And so together with all their knowledge, they just make a great team in growing and making super wine. So the wines were absolutely great.
Are they out there in, are they in the mainstream of wines, or are they still small?
They are relatively small. You would not find their wines in every grocery store, mm-hmm. and that's not everybody's goal. They have their loyal followers, club members. They have some locations, but the best place to purchase would be to visit them in person, or to be a club member, or just to log on their website and buy directly from them.
Hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, they have another interesting fact is that their winery is dry farmed and organic. And what the dry farming is that they do not rely on any irrigation. The vines, you know, the roots go so deep down in soil that they reach the moisture and minerals, and that results in wine that is very characteristic to the particular vintage. So their philosophy is to produce wine that is consistent to the terroir, to the weather, to the soil, just a minimalist approach that, you know, just the wine to shine itself. And you know, after trying their wines, I could definitely tell that, you know, what was it all about? It's just to showcasing the wine and the grape and the place where it came from. It was just absolutely wonderful.
Is that process, I mean, that's got to be a very difficult to understand because you're basically not watering or anything. You're relying on the roots as far as it can go to reach moisture, right?
And the yearly rainfall. You know, you can do it right away when you just plant the vine. It needs to, they need to get going, and you need to have the right place. The vineyard is in Santa Lucia Mountain Range, and they have this, what is called soft rolling hills. And from that rain, you know, we're walking in the vineyard, and the soil was really soft. It was very moist. So that helps the roots go really deep down.
Hmm.
Wow. And yeah, and this year, because there was so much rain compared to the previous years, they're going to have more varietals, and they're going to leave more, you know, not going to
right.
be too technical, but a few more branches that will produce a little bit more grapes. And I took the pictures of the vines in the vineyard. It was just stunning. So pretty.
Can you put that on our site too?
I can share them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Definitely.
That would be excellent. That would
yeah.
be excellent.
So we tried four wines, and those would be my, you know, log in their website, follow them on Facebook to get the wines, because they were just absolutely beautiful. The first one we tried is Albariño. It's a Spanish varietal. The wine was just, it's a white wine. It's just beautiful, crisp. It would be amazing with seafood. Chilled,
wow.
that needs to be chilled. Serve it chilled, and aromas of pineapple, citrus, and cloves. It was just wonderful. We tried also a rosé, French varietal, Thin Salt is called. So that would be nice, too, with maybe... like we talked the previous week about, something that has a little bit tomatoey sauce, not too heavy meat, maybe even lamb it can go well with too. And then we also tried the two Zinfandels, which were just wonderful. And those would be good with the barbecues, the Mariam's lamb burgers, or just on its own. So.
Right, right. What's the site that our people can find this winery?
His website is minasianyoung.com.
Can you spell
and,
that?
Sure. It's Minasian Young, YOUNG.com, and the Facebook too, Minasian Young, and they have...
And these
just to relax. Yeah.
Right. These wines, they range in what type of price?
They are between 28, maybe the wines would be less, between $28 and maybe $35.
That's not bad at all.
And I'm sure if you join the club, you will get all their special allocations and things that are not maybe even available on the website or are limited quantities. Just a nice way to get a variety of what they make.
Sure.
Of what he makes.
Well, that's excellent. You know where I'm headed this Saturday, tomorrow, I am headed to Herman, where our Stonehill is.
Oh.
Yeah, we've got Armenians that live there, and they're throwing a big party. And I think I'm going to sneak out. Stonehill is maybe two blocks away, and I need your address after the show. Maybe you could send me your address. I'm going to send you some Stonehill stuff. Maybe not me. I think they probably send it out too, so I'll just have them send it to you at your address. So,
oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'd love to try.
Oh, you'll love
I'd
it.
Love
you'll
to
love
try.
It. So
there's also very exciting news that results 2 days ago. This is for Armenian wine industry. 2 days ago, the results came of this international competition that's held in Germany. It's called Mundus Vini, and Armenian wines won 23 medals.
You're
out
kidding.
Of them, 10 gold and 13 silver. Yeah, that was just big, because that gives another opportunity, you know, for the another push in the marketing and the promotion of the Armenian wines. It means that they're becoming legitimate competitors in making quality wine, which is wonderful.
Did anything happen with my gal Victoria with her Armas wine?
Yeah. She has one gold. I mean, I saw one.
Nice.
I'm not sure if there is more, but there is. I saw Armas next to one. It was. I didn't have a chance to go because they just have the names of the wines. They don't have the producers next to them on the article that I was reading, which was kind of hard for me to like figure out, okay, this is the name, but who is the producer? But I saw Armas one, and I'm like, I'm sure Jonah is going to like this and like the news. And they did win the gold.
That's my girl. I mean, I tell you what, that winery, I will go there. Every time if I'm in Armenia, I will definitely go there again, and I strongly recommend everyone to check that out too. That's Armas Winery. But that's beautiful news. 22 medals were handed out. 23 medals. Uh-huh. Chris, that's not chump change.
I mean, that's beautiful. That's legitimate.
Yeah. I mean, that gets world respect there.
Absolutely.
A little country like that, and it's producing that much. It's unbelievable. So, God bless.
Yeah, it was great news. Everyone was cheering, and I was very excited to see that wonderful news. Yeah.
All right.
So there is Armenians in Armenia, Armenians in United States. It's like everybody's making great wine.
Anush, we make news everywhere we go, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good news. We want the good news.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got anything going this weekend?
Oh, this weekend is a weekend of family get-together, so nothing wine-related too much, but a few celebrations and chilling and relaxing.
Yeah, perfect. Send me a message of your address. I'm going to be in Herman, and I'm going to send you some wine. So I hope you enjoy it.
I'll be looking forward to try them and talk to you more about them.
Yes,
I'll definitely do that.
Beautiful. All right, Anush, you have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, you too.
Take care.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye. We got Lambergers. We got the wine, Zivendales. I mean, this is going to be outstanding here. This weekend, I'm going to look like how do you say the connoisseur? What's that word we're looking for?
The connoisseur.
Yes, that's me. That's an Armenian saying, connoisseur.
It's a great saying.
Yeah.
It's the Armenian
word. We're gonna have it all. And folks, it's been a great show. By the way, if you're going to be getting stuff on Amazon, and Anush brought it up, I don't know if it was on the air or off the air, but she said she's got a great puzzle. It's on Amazon right now. We're going to definitely promote this in the future weeks coming up. And Amazon, you do all your shopping there anyway. Why not go through ArmeniaProud.com? It'll be on your right-hand side. You click on Amazon right there, and you shop away, and you know what? We get a little love back. It's a little love back, but we're looking at quantity.
Hey, love is love.
Yeah. Yeah. We want Amazon to know that our show, Armenia Proud, is out there. So we're kind of excited about
Absolutely.
It. So definitely check our site out, and you get past episodes of all our shows, all our guests, man.
A huge backlog of just amazing, like it's dude, the who's who of the Armenian community.
Chris, I swear to God, man, I went to Armenia Proud. I go, I can't believe I've interviewed all these people. It's outstanding. Think about it.
Who would have thought when we started this, where we are now?
Yeah. And one guest after another, and we really shined here.
Agreed.
I love it. Thanks a lot, guys. And we're going to have more guests in the future, and we are so happy we're getting all the downloads here. God bless, and let's stay in touch. Give me a shout. Message me. Whatever you guys want to hear, I'm all ears. From Chris, Brian, Genatsis, Kisher Party, we'll see you guys next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. Find the show online at ArmeniaProud.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at Facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or Twitter @ArmeniaProud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.